5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tell the Damn Story, the podcast show, a YouTube show that goes through the trials and tribulations of writing and being creative. So hopefully your road to tell your story is a little smoother.
Wow.
And to do that, ladies and gentlemen,
wow,
we have scoured the planet for the very best, most experienced minds we can find. None of them would play. So we ended up with just us. Okay. I am honored to co-host this with a legend.
An alleged legend, yes.
Of fiction and facts, of comics and adventure novels. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Simmons.
Thank you, folks. Thank you for that great intro. My co-host, good friend, and father of my godchild, Mr. Christopher Ryan, a writer, publisher par excellence, and independent at that, an independent writer, publisher, freelancer. So this means that he has jumped out on that road in the dark, in the deep woods, with a Bowie knife and hardtack to try and build his career.
Bumbling and bumbling.
You are looking at the Grizzly Adams literary process. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. I'm waiting for another little notch in my belt in the traditional side of things. Can't say much more about it, but it involves a creature, and we'll get back to that when it goes live. But yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. And now, just to show you, because Chris always brings up this thing about my time machine. He says involves a creature. He gets around, beaten around the bush with that kind of thing. And in my head, I immediately go into the Wayback Machine, and I'm envisioning a local TV celebrity from my childhood named Zachary, who is an actor in makeup like a zombie, sure, right? And who had his wife in one of those laundry baskets on wheels, yeah, right? You never saw her, but you go over there. And he went, my dear, and he would reach his hand and get pulled into the thing. It was a silly situation. So, Chris, I do hope the beastie that you're going to reveal at some point is as fascinating, if not more.
It's not Zachary. It's a little more, I guess you'd say, Midwest to Western United States and maybe Canada folklore. But I'll leave it at that.
Okay,
but,
okay.
It'd be Zach, a good first.
Still out there?
On my... Thinking, man. On my independent publishing front,
yes,
we're just days at this point, days away from publishing. This is the first time I'm going to publish a book entirely by an author that is not me. I've done, of course, the Soul Scream Anthologine series that had about over 30 authors, but I'd show up. Here I did the foreword and some other work and editing and that kind of stuff, but all of it after that is the work of a fabulous writer and person who can communicate with such friendliness and down-to-earthness that she was perfect for this kind of book that I always wanted. And it's called Creep This Way, How to Become a Horror Writer. And Rebecca Cuthbert is the writer. And she, there's some about how to do the writing, but it's about how to deal with social media, how to get yourself out there and meet people.
Creep
and
this way. I like that. I
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. And yeah. She even did the cover, which is just so charming. I guess she's very charming and real. And that's what comes across there. So I have something to look forward to in January on both fronts. But today,
so this is coming out in January.
That's going to come out in January, and I'm hoping the other one does, but that's from another publisher. So I just, like you, wait to find out.
What's going to happen?
That feels good, too.
Yeah. Okay, so my quick update is, from the writing standpoint, I have a short story that's sitting on the desk of a mega publisher to hopefully be included as part of a collection, which theoretically is supposed to be coming out in a month.
What?
It's fingers crossed. I haven't heard. I'm shallow breathing. that sort of thing. But and so I can't talk about it just yet, but hopefully if it comes through, I will definitely be talking about that. You threw a challenge at me in 2023,
I did.
yeah, regarding work
No.
that I did in 2022, which was the collection of short stories that I wrote, which my commitment, my mission was to write a short story every month for that entire year for 2022, which I did do. The mission was not to necessarily write a publishable story or to write a story that would come out at any particular time, but it was just to absolutely write a short story. Two things that happened was A, yes, I did it. And B, they slowly in the early days began to identify themselves as they wanted to be along my favorite theme or genre, which is mysteries. So
Okay.
it's they're all mysteries in some way, shape, or form. And after I wrote them, I just put them away because that was the mission. So you in 2023 said, edit one or more of them bad boys and get it out there. I started the editing, but I didn't finish the editing and I didn't get it out there. And then my son Gavin also prodded me. I think you sent him the one with the cattle prod with the batteries.
Yes.
And I got to work on one again, and I'm almost finished with it. So at least one of them will be revised by me, will be edited by me, but I still would hand it off to you for an edit and a look-see. And also I have to show it to Gavin because otherwise he'll poke me with that thing again. That's that. And then I'm also going back to another wonderful semester at the New York Film Academy. So I'm looking forward to working with a plethora of new students as well as a few of the older ones. And when I say students, by the way, people, I don't want you to think, oh, it's high school age only or something like that. We run the gamut from 19 to 60 something.
92.
Yeah, 19 to 92. Yeah, and I don't think we have a 90 something in there yet, but either way, there's some challenges coming in with that. I'm looking forward to that, and that's going to be exciting. And so
Now,
that's my creative end. Yes.
today's topic will help you do your stuff and me do my stuff better than perhaps we did it in 2023.
I would like to think that, and I also hope that it will help those who are listening, no matter what their age and where they are in their career pursuits, because it is something that I'd say a good, better than half of all writers face at some point,
Yeah,
phase in
it's one of
time.
the biggest traps that writers face and one of the more subtle ones. And
Yep.
we're gonna rip the
A
top off
Band-Aid,
it
right.
and yeah, rip the band-aid off, pull the curtain aside. We're gonna expose this horrendous horror that is out there waiting for you.
As soon as his meds kick in, folks, he'll be just fine.
So, brothers and
Dude, wow, dude.
sisters,
Okay.
let's get into talking. What are we talking about
We're
today,
talking about
Alex?
something that writers, especially those who are passionate, enthusiastic, and become lost in, talking about our mental and physical health.
Yeah, bro.
Because that impacts on everything we do and vice versa. Case in point, when I was much younger, one of the things that would happen to me is I would become just so full of passion about this idea for this story or this play that I wanted to work on. And I would jump on it. And sometimes I would work on it 24 hours, just literally, just not go to sleep because I got to get this done. I got to get this done. I got to get this done. And it wasn't that it had a deadline. It was I
Just
was
had to get it
driving
done.
myself. I was driving myself to get it done and to push it out. And sometimes this would go on for days. It's almost like the equation to equate it to someone with a drug habit or a drinking problem. You're just so lost in the thing that you forsake everything else. And after a while, you crash.
Yeah.
Not to mention whether or not the work that you produced was of any quality.
No, it's this mistake of all in. You want to be all in your career, but there has to be some balance. There has to be some nutrition. There has to be some movement. There has to be sleep. There has to be input, intake of information, intake of new inspiration. And when we're like, I'm just gonna power through it. And there are legends of famous authors that a lot of us as young writers heard and were like, oh, I want to emulate that, right? Jack Kerouac writing an entire book with mom. Just his pitch would be, I just fever wrote it. No, his mom was making him sandwiches and drinking him coffee, and he was eating speed like they were Skittles. But it was also after going out and living life for 4 to 6 to 8 months, then he would just be running, reporting back on his adventures. Hunter S. Thompson on his marathons. But again, many stimulation aids involved there.
Stimulation aids, yes.
Yeah,
Like the
so
college student who's constantly popping in order to study for exams and things.
yeah.
Yeah.
So
It's a bad
that's not the
habit.
way. That's
No,
not
it's
the
a bad
way.
habit.
I love both those guys, but not the way.
I had the good fortune of meeting Ray Bradbury at one point, and also meeting an actor by the name of Jeremy Britt. Jeremy Britt played Sherlock Holmes in a lot of the BBC episodes in the 80s. And is
Right.
also well respected in a number of other productions throughout the years. But Ray Bradbury and Jeremy Britt, two people from different worlds, one a writer, one an actor, both said very similar things to me when I met them at different times. And that was that they had to take in life. They had to go out and see things and do things and read things and absorb things in order to then have something to give back,
Right.
something to produce from, to build on. So Bradbury read voraciously. He says, I always wanted to read so I could take this in so that when I sat down to write, I had something to say. And Jeremy Britt said that he had to, especially after the tragedy of his wife passing, he said he had to get back into life. He had to do things and see things and meet people and do this so that he could fill himself up. He referred to himself as a well, fill the well up so that he had some water to drink from.
There you go. Yeah, and it makes sense. You have to refill the taps, refill the tanks, pick your standard
Metaphor,
imagery, right? Yeah. And the wisest of the creators say read widely, not just read often and read a lot, but read widely. Some people make the mistake of, I want to be a mystery writer, so anything, only thing I'm going to ever read is related to mystery. Well, most of your heroes don't only do that. They read histories, or they'll read biographies or stuff about another country that they might want to write about. Completely different. I know a writer who went to Africa to be able to write about Africa. God bless that guy. But we also, there's also the famous quotes about writing itself and the image of the writer. Is, I think now in 2024, we can dare to say it's misleading. I was lucky to be at the 350th anniversary of the Bronx or something like that. And I wound up sitting with Richard Price, who evolved into one of my writing heroes. And we got to talking about writing. And he says, you prepare any way you. Yeah, whatever works for you, but ultimately it comes down to ass in seat, ass in chair time, and you just have to sit and write, and that's a lonely road and all that sort of stuff. When he's right, and I revered that, and I was grateful for that for all these years, but there's an adjustment to it that comes from horror author Brian Keene, and Keene says, sitting equals death. And it's true to sit that long because a lot of writers do marathon sessions. It's not good for your circulatory system. It's not good for your muscles, for your back. The rule of thumb is every 20 minutes you have to get up and move. And that's really hard for a writer to do because that 19th minute is where the rhythm hits.
Yeah, you're in the zone. Yeah.
And you think, all right, I'll just finish one more minute. And when you take a breath, 3, 4 hours have passed, if you're lucky, if that's happening. But we can do so much damage to ourselves by just sitting. So right now I'm standing. I had purchased a standing desk, which I just put on top of my sitting desk. it's just the right size so that my I was I had a back injury last week related to some viral infection I had. I coughed my back out.
Jeez.
Coughed so hard I threw my back out. So I was just trying to do some stuff and I put it on a counter in the kitchen just to stand there for a while, and the angle wasn't right and my fingers started tingling. So I said, all right, we got to go back into the tent. And this angle works. So find the right angle, try standing. You might find it's healthier for you. That's what the science says. That's what I have found out. But also, you have to move. Going back to that backache, it was just getting worse. And I was putting heating pads on it and all that sort of stuff. One of my sons is a phys ed teacher and a coach. And he nonchalantly said to me, put ice on it and then walk it off. And I thought he was just giving me the cliches for baseball, right? But out of desperation, I put ice on it instead of heat, and it helped. I said, if that part helped, I have to take coach's other bit of advice. So I put on my coat. It was hilarious. I should have taped it because it was this really slow couch business. And I slipped into these boots but didn't tie them because I couldn't get down there. That's how
Couldn't
bad
bend
they're.
over. Oh, God, yeah.
And I walked a mile, but I live in a, on a road that is actually a circle. So I walked down there, and it was the longest mile. I don't know. I actually think I only did a half mile that first day, but it was as long as my wife went out for a run. She did, was it 3.5 miles is a mini
But she
marathon?
lapped
Or,
you like Captain America.
and
She's just
she's the
getting
cutest run in the world. She's, just go, but she's the little engine that could, and off she went, and there I am. And but as little as I did it, and the back felt better. And the next day, I actually did the whole mile, and then the next day, and then it was snowing yesterday, and I said, "What the hell am I gonna do?" I said, "Wait a second, somewhere in the bowels of this house is a treadmill." So, wow, treadmills are excruciatingly boring.
Why does it sound like he's going into the dungeon
There is a kind of a
to
gym
look for the
dungeon down there.
rack?
There's one scary corner where there's all the equipment that I thought the kids would be looking at, but they all go other places. Coach goes down there once in a while. I knew I couldn't make more than 5 minutes just staring at the rest of the basement. So I got an iPad, and you have inspired me a couple of years ago to sign up for Masterclass.
Ah.
So I just said, well, who's there that I haven't seen since last time? And I actually stumbled across R.L. Stein. So me and R.L. went for a walk. He was telling me how to write his way, and I was just kept going.
Yep.
And every time he had these little short bites. So every time I felt like, oh, I can't do this anymore. This is ridiculous. And it would end. I said, all right, one more. And I think I did like 8 or 10 sessions with him and got my time in. So whatever it takes, ladies and gentlemen, move. Make sure you move those long hours sitting at your whatever you type on or write on. It's going to sap. It's actually going to, in the long run, make it harder for you to write.
Let me also jump in here and add a caveat, if that would be the proper word. For those of you who are 20 to 30 something and think, well, this guy's talking about his body because of blah, blah, blah. No.
Don't fall in that trap, bro.
There's a lot of overweight, obese, or pathetically unhealthy 30-year-olds and 20-year-olds because your lifestyle, whatever it may be, I'm not judging. I'm just saying your lifestyle impacts on your creativity.
Damn right.
Absolutely. If you happen to run on a regular basis or exercise on a regular basis, that's great. That's great.
And
But
you'll
then
agree with us.
some of the things that we're talking about in terms of your physical health is great. That's good. If you exercise, keeps the body healthy, keeps the mind functioning on a higher level. Great. But there's also what we do to ourselves emotionally and mentally.
Yep.
And one of the things that, especially with some of the students that I come across, is a little bit of doubt, self-doubt. That's natural. It's normal, especially if you're entering the field or a field slowly, gradually, for the first time, whatever, you don't know what you can do because you haven't done it before. You don't have a
Right,
lot of
true.
experience. So yeah, there's going to be a certain amount of, I don't know if I can do this, or maybe I'm not good enough. That's normal. But some of us get on that, or I'll use the other phrase, some of us go down that rabbit hole too darn far. And it becomes a thing of where we just beat ourselves mentally or emotionally. Oh, I probably can't this. I'm probably stupid. No one's going to want to read it. And you start to kick yourself. And that impacts on us across the board. Literally, we've got to have a certain amount of faith in our ability to try and do something. Because A, you really don't know until you try.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. You really don't know. Then, how much effort do you put into it? That's a yardstick. If you put a little bit of, oh, I'm going to try and write a little something. Nah, that didn't work. I'm going to, then you didn't try. You really
Right.
didn't try.
Right.
You scratched the page and that's it. But if you're going to try, then you've got to set up a certain amount of time. Like maybe you say, I'm going to try for a month. I'm going to try and write every day for 15 minutes. Fine. See how that works for you. Don't throw away the stuff that you write. Because again, yes, we're talking about mental health here, emotional health here. If you write day one and you write for 20 days, when you look back at your day one, your day two, your day three, you're going to see a difference between your day 17, 18, 19, because you are improving incrementally. And if you learn from others, like Chris is talking about people who became his writing heroes, I have some of my own, I have some acting heroes, people who raised the bar for me. And yeah, there's a point in my head where I'm going, oh, I'll probably never be as good as, but that didn't stop me from trying. And then at a certain point, you start with, oh, I'm better than I thought I'd be. Wow. And you keep going. You fall down, you get up. But don't defeat yourself. Don't beat yourself. Don't convince yourself that you can't do a thing because you haven't done it before.
Right.
And tying back into the physical thing,
Well,
I was always a put. No,
can
hang
I
on a second.
add before mental, before we go back to physical?
Yeah,
No.
let me just put the button on this because it's the mental to the physical. The thing that I was going to say is, again, if you are, because I was a pudgy kid, I was a fat kid. If you're not the athlete, you're not the school basketball star or whatever, and you are writing and you start to tell yourself, maybe I can't do this, maybe I can't do that, you can start anything. You can start doing the physical things to impact on how you feel physically, and you can start doing the writing thing to impact on how you feel creatively. Now, go ahead, Chris.
No, you don't have to just be pudgy. As a child, I was an afro on a stick. It's and even the athletes, they all go through a form, and actors go through the same thing, singers go through the same thing, artists, writers, we all go through self-doubt. We all go through imposter syndrome. And one of the things I like to do, Hollywood Reporter does roundtables, and they do it with the directors and writers and producers and actors. And at some point, almost every episode, someone mentions imposter syndrome. It is that prevalent. So when you, not if you, when you start doubting yourself, understand that just contributes to you being part of the creative community, because we all have that. And it is a mental challenge, but it's universal. I would not be surprised if business people have the same thing, and they're not as upfront about it as we are.
I think one of the differences, maybe one of the differences, one of the ones that I would take note of, is if you work for a company, let's say, or you work for a series of clients on a regular basis, maybe you can see your quote unquote improvement or lack thereof by raises and promotions, because that's how some company jobs work. You start out at this level, and at a certain point, you get a promotion or a raise, and then they do this. So you can say, oh, I'm getting better, or I'm being more recognized. I must be blah, 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 as you go up that ladder or the opposite direction. But I think when you're freelance or when you're in the creative world and you're trying to establish yourself, you don't always have those markers. It's a lot more of the time it's about you. And then the other thing is, I believe we deal with, on the average, we deal with rejection more. Because when you're constantly sending out your work, and it's not personal, but you send out an article that you wrote, you send out a short story that you wrote, and you send it out to 12 different people, and 11 of them say, no, thank you. It's not
Put it
necessarily
in the
just saying you
pile.
suck. It's simply saying we can't use this.
Rebecca in Creep This Way has a whole chapter about this. Believe beyond the doubts, which is a great little, what a phrase. But she talks about an article that she read. She got permission to put the link in with it. And it's about #100 rejections. And it was the idea of turning the rejections into a positive, because the idea of, if you're putting your best work out there, it's going to get rejected. That's fact, right? So the more you put out there, the greater the odds are that you're improving and that you're closer to acceptance. So if you put a goal like #100 rejections, then your mindset is not, oh, woe is me, every time you get a rejection. Because you're going, I'm expecting 100 rejections for the 120 that I'm putting out. And then you might not hear from some, and a couple you get. And that's really the batting average, right? Derek Jeter, hey, if you get a hit 3 out of 10 times, you're in the Hall of Fame. It's the same kind of mindset that you have to have. That's a great goal, and it's going to be an
Well,
experiment of mine
it's
this year.
gamifying in a way, that part of the process.
And reducing the power of that imposter syndrome inner voice, the saying, oh, you got rejected again, give up, you suck. Everybody gets rejected. You might say, not Stephen King. Yeah, the first 5 or 10 years, where he was writing in his little cramped basement between his washing machine and the furnace, because that's the only space they had, and was teaching during the day and doing other jobs and just barely making it, and had so much self-doubt that he threw Carrie in the garbage.
That's the script, folks. That's not his neighbor. That's not his.
That was the
Yeah,
manuscript
that's a
of the
manuscript.
whole
He's doing.
book.
Yeah.
And Tabitha famously fished it out and read it to
Tabitha, his
Newton.
wife.
This is Captain Footnotes here,
Yeah.
and said, no, this is, there's something to this. Keep going. We even someone with Stephen King, they all go through
Well,
it,
again,
and you have a
it's
right to it.
inevitable. And again, you mentioned we're talking writers predominantly. You mentioned actors. There's, if you listen to interviews with some of the greats, as well as some of the memorable ones that you have, the ones that you've always seen do character stuff, almost all of them talk about rejection. They talk about those difficult times. Or they talk about, you had mentioned Stephen King. There are many directors, film directors, and screenwriters who have had whole sections of their work wind up on the cutting room floor. You know, it's not in the final product out there. You know. And it's funny because I'll mention a pop culture reference here, which got a lot of emotional buildup, both positive and negative, from both the creatives involved in it as well as the audience base. But there was a Justice League movie that DC did. The Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, Cyborg, all these characters in there. And the first film that came out was, I think it was like 2 hours or something like that. And it, personally, it bombed with me, but also it got a lot of negative press and a lot of complaints about it. And then they re-released it with footage that they put back, which so it's even longer, but it was better because the thing that they had taken out was the heart of the story. The story didn't make sense before. Then before it had all these action figures doing action stuff, kind of, and things blew up and things flamed up and monsters were there. And okay, that's visually stimulating. But once they put back this other material, then there was a story. There was a high and low. There was a buildup. There was a heart to it. And so, again, imagine what that felt like. You did all that work, you filmed it, you performed it, you wrote all this stuff. It's out. And then they cut it and send it out there for the world to see. They send out the remnants of your work for the world to see, for the vast majority of the planet to see. and it gets ripped and your name is on it. Yeah, those are the kind of things that many of us in some way, shape, or form are gearing up, training ourselves to deal with. And subsequently, having a better sense of self, of your self-value, of your self-worth, building up a little bit of a thick skin, all of those things, those positive things, really are necessary to help you make it through the journey of becoming a professional creative. And your physical health and your mental health and your emotional health are key to you surviving that journey.
Right. So do the things you need to do to help you do the things you're called to do.
Ooh, I like that. Oh, I like that.
Almost didn't get there, but.
Oh, my. Ooh, I like that. Can we get that on a shirt? I like that.
That's right. That's a mug. That's a mug right
there. There you go. Mug for us, Chris. Okay. You know, we wanted to take this time because it is 2024. It is January in 2024. So it's the beginning of the year. And people make New Year's resolutions and all that kind of stuff. All we really want you to do is be healthy, be creative, be happy, continue on your journey, believe in yourself, take risk, because that's a part of it. And try and find
art.
And try and find support to help you along the way. Friends, relatives, family, loved ones, whatever. Find some people that are in your corner so that every now and then when stuff does get deep, thick, and dark, you have someone to go, okay, I'm in there again. What do you think? Or let's go play ball, or let's go see a movie, or let's just go for a run or walk or whatever.
And let's point out that along that way of finding that tribe, finding that inner circle, you're going to come across, again, to quote Rebecca Cuthbert, negative Nellies. And her advice is to cut them out. Mm. The people who somehow find it necessary to put others down to make themselves feel better, or are hypercritical and never positive.
Or they're afraid themselves, so they come from that place.
Yeah, and it's not on you to change them all, and it's not on you to keep everybody that you enter into a friendship or a working relationship with. If they are negative, move on. Now, I will give one little asterisk, because I recently had a very negative experience from someone in a writing group that was delivered very positively. But I was like, why is all this coming at me? And then at the last moment, he talked about story structure and why it is demanded that so-and-so character in my story do so-and-so thing. I don't subscribe to any demands from outside. I'm a little more organic that way. But damn it, if that one idea about that character having to do something didn't just stay with me and bear fruit, where the story might be significantly different now from something that initially came into me, was received by me as a negative thing. So it's a good thing in 2024 to check your own negativity and to open yourself up to, that's not an attack. That's just someone trying to be constructive. Take what is useful and move on. So if there's nothing there, then move from that person and don't let the negativity weigh you down. But be open to, are they actually, is there anything that they're saying that helps my creativity?
Or in the middle of all that nonsense, wait a minute, that one makes sense.
Listen. Yeah, now, you know, there might have been like, wait, that. Yeah,
there you go.
And then you take the gold and you leave all
the sand, you know, gravel.
All the, gravel and all that.
There.
You know, so it happens. So
okay.
I hope this was helpful today.
Yeah, if it wasn't, it was to me.
There you go.
But again, it's another way of us trying to support you guys, folks out there, and telling you that you're not alone, and believe a little bit more in yourself than maybe you are at the moment.
Yes. Okay? And that will help you tell your own damn story.
I love how he slipped that in there too. That and the other, the one that's going to go in the mug. So, Chris, as always, a pleasure.
I'm glad we
Folks,
were recording because I don't
we
remember that.
have coming up over the next few weeks interviews with some wonderful people, as well, of course, Chris and I being here. But we have Shannon Simons coming back with her new cozy mystery. We have Tom, there we go. Okay. And Janine out Atchison, Atchison, I think it is.
Exactly.
Yeah, her. Right. No. Tom and Janine, two of our favorite writers of
Tom and Jerry are coming back.
graphic novel horror and all that kind of like Vampirella and things like that. And we have a host of other people that are going to be coming on over the next few weeks. So we
Parade of personalities, as it were.
Beelzebub. Yeah. So anyway, keep listening. By the way, subscribe and press that button, click that thing. Also in the comments, let us know what you would like us to explore, talk about, throw up comments or whatever. Or if you disagree with us on something, let us know that as well. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Take care, everybody.